Hello and welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, and mentor. With me today is Jeff Davis. Jeff is a man that knows how to hustle. After Hurricane Katrina, he moved from New Orleans to Houston and worked as a data entry clerk. He found himself solving problems for customers and helping salespeople close deals. Eventually, he became a sales rep at a large Fortune 200 global logistics firm. We all know supply chain now, huh? In 2015, Jeff invested his commissions in real estate and has since scaled this into a 952-unit portfolio. Jeff has seen the benefits of how real estate helped him grow his net worth, and he wants to help others do the same. Welcome to the show, Mr. Jeff Davis.
Man, what an honor. What an honor. It's great to be with you, Mr. Gino.
Where do we start? We have some similarities, Jeff. We both didn't really like our W-2 jobs. I wasn't too thrilled at the restaurant. You've got five kids. I've got six kids. You feel the pain. Your wife stayed at home. My wife stays at home. I mean, where do we start this whole entire show? Give me a background of what I like to really know is why real estate? Why multifamily?
Yeah. Many years ago, I guess after the 2008 and I saw the disillusion of my down payment on my first house that I'd worked a long time and very hard for, I saw many investors coming into our neighborhood scooping up these properties at a very low price. And I thought there's a way that I can prepare for another event, right? This is all numbers. This is economy. How do I do that? And I actually went to like a little weekend boot camp here locally in Houston. And I saw that over a Saturday and Sunday, I saw passive income through rental real estate. And it wasn't just that, right? It was tax benefits, it was appreciation. And my eyes were absolutely opened. Mm-hmm. And I told my wife, I said, we're going to be landlords and I can't wait. The reception wasn't what I anticipated, but
it never is. You have to show them proof, right? You have to paint them the picture of what real estate is going to do for you. You have to paint the picture of what financial freedom is. Telling somebody something is not going to really make them understand what it is. But you got into the real estate aspect from like the fix and flip and the single family home. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. For quite a while,
you know. And what held you back from getting into multifamily? And then that next question after that is, you know, what propelled you to get into multifamily?
So I guess, you know, it was a mental block. You know, we all say mindset, because in that same boot camp, the Sunday was all about apartments. But when you have not even done one single rental house, the concept of owning an apartment complex is very far away mentally. And so owning my first rental and getting that check was mind-blowing, and I really enjoyed it. I like being a landlord. I do hear a lot of nightmare stories, and I've had some bad ones, but it never really affected me. So what got me into it was I could not scale, right? Mm-hmm. Every time I started over, it was literally starting over from ground zero. Mm-hmm. And I did everything right, even though I had contractors.
What would you have done differently then, you know, going out there now, knowing what you know now, and you have mindset? Would you have gone to more personal development? Would you have gone and learned syndication? What would you have done differently early on?
I would have gone straight into you know, multifamily. You know, whether it was small or a large syndication, if I'd have known that I was going to have five kids, I would have gone into a syndication as a limited partner, just because I was still growing in my career. And of course, knowing what we know now about what has happened from 2010 into 2020, mm-hmm. right? The multiplier effect, amazing. Mm-hmm. But we don't get that benefit. There's always benefits to going the path that we already went, though.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you share the story with us about you thinking about pursuing your MBA and thinking that's the right path, I'm going to go and double down and get my education and make even more money.
Right. So at the time I was a salesperson for a small trucking company, and I managed sales for all of Texas. And I just, it was a very small trucking company. I wasn't making tremendous. I was providing for our family and we had two kids. I'm just studying every night. All my customers were oil and gas and chemical clients. They had supply chain degrees, MBAs. And I'm thinking, man, I got to get my MBA and get out of this logistics and get into, I got to be like them, right? And earn the big money. So I start studying for, I guess, the LSAT or the MBAT, whatever the course was. I would get a book like this from the library for free. And every night I'm studying for 2 hours to register and take this pre-qualification test. And my wife comes and sits down, and I can remember it vividly. She sits down on our old couch and she says, I'm pregnant again. And so I close that book up and I decided I'm going to get really good at sales.
And the reason why I wanted you to share the story, it's very simple. It's never the right time, isn't it? It's never the right time to have another child. It's never the right time to start a new endeavor. It's never the right time to get into multifamily. We can tell that to ourselves, and we're probably right. But time doesn't wait for us. You have to have a big enough why. And Jeff had said he wished he had started sooner with multifamily. And now people out there right now are freaking out. The same people that said the last 3 years, I'm not going to invest because the market's too hot and asset prices are too high, are saying the same thing right now, that, uh-oh, the sky's falling. Now is not the right time either because interest rates are too high and asset prices are too high. And I'm just out there to challenge everybody. Mm-hmm. Are those your limiting beliefs? Is that your belief bubble, your paradigm of just saying that's too risky and to continue on? There's nothing wrong with that. Just be aware that Jeff sitting on that couch probably didn't want to have a child at that time. It wasn't the right time, but thank God he had that child, because that child is probably 8 or 9 years old right now and is probably an amazing part of his life. So I challenge a lot of you out there to really think about it. Is it the right time? Only you know it. You have to have a big enough why. And Jeff and I think have similar goals. We have families. We have large families. We want to have control in our lives. We want to have, quote unquote, that passive income wrapped in with that active income. And we want to have one of the best investment vehicles out there, which is multifamily. So I love that story. I wanted you to share that story, but let's fast forward and let me really understand. What did your wife say when you said to her, I want to buy multifamily. I want to get into it. And I want to get into these big deals.
So you're fast forwarding over several years of investment and success. Uh-huh. So we'd been through it, right? I mean, we're going through me coming home and saying like, hey, I bought another house. Surprise. and sometimes like these weren't very nice houses. And so it's been several years of proven success and some trials.
So what Jeff is saying is probably the median income is probably less than $30,000. There's some marginal neighborhoods in there. It's not safe. Oh, yeah. And you know, he's looking for price versus value, and he's making all those mistakes, and he's saying, how do I scale up? But I keep doing this because that's what I'm used to. Am I paraphrasing that, or is that accurate?
No, you're absolutely accurate. Right. And it's funny you say that, because it was about a month or two ago, and she said, I kind of miss those little single family houses, right? You take these dumpster fires and turn them into something cute. And there is something to be said about that, right? A little pride. So we've been through all that over the past several years. So when I had sold everything and I said, this is the path we're going to go, like, this is what I am desiring, you know, to join the Jake and Gino group. What are your thoughts? And because I need support. Like, this is going to be a journey. I knew this was not like a house flip, you know, 6 months. This is a career path. Mm-hmm. And she's like, if you think this is the best, right, then let's do it. Right. Let's go on.
That's awesome. You guys had already been having some success, but you knew the next iteration. And it's funny, everybody, everyone who's listening, this is an amazing journey because everyone looks at the overnight success and now that Jeff's doing his first 506C, but you don't see the pain and the struggle of sitting on that couch, not knowing where the next paycheck's coming from, not understanding how am I going to scale the business, not understanding that all of a sudden I've got these cute little houses, but they're not really a way for me to scale my business. Although I really like that, it's just not a model that's sustainable. And all of that's going through your mind. And what made you decide to join Jake and Gino? And what were the benefits of joining the community for you?
Yeah. So one of my private lenders, right? Because when you're doing single family, you're typically, the way to do it is you're not using a real estate agent, you're buying off market. And those are cash deals. And the way to leverage is through private money lenders. And one of my private money lenders was a member of Jake and Gino. And he was a multifamily guy. And so I'm watching him and his partner, who I also knew, especially last year, they'd already gotten into two, maybe three deals at that time. And I said, man, I'm watching you guys. And it's just growing at a rapid clip. But the first year, all they had was a podcast. And I'm like, what is that? And I'm doing these transactions thinking I'm having a lot more transactions. You have a podcast, but it all made sense, right? There's a process to this. And then I began to understand, that's why we had that discussion. And because I'm coming home late at night, dealing with contractors and a very heavy payroll every week, paying contractors off. And it was exhausting. It's exhausting. Mm-hmm.
And when you joined, Jeff, talk about that first syndication. I'd like to hear about that first syndication and what mistakes you made on that first syndication.
Oh, the biggest mistake that I think I made was just lack of, or just, you know, I guess you'd call it hubris. I really thought, hey, my success in corporate America as a salesperson, I've got this network. They all know I do real estate. They will give me money to invest in real estate because I ask them. And that does not translate, right? So that was my mistake. That was my biggest mistake. And so my thought was I would raise over seven figures, and I did eke out, you know, I did eke out a raise. I've had quasi successful raises since. I've done a very good job as a co-GP, but it has been a very humbling experience of this is a lot of work and consistency.
And what changed? What made you become more successful from that first raise?
Really dialing in and understanding what is it that a potential and who is a potential investor. And who is my market, right? Who is my potential market, right? I'm not going to market to a doctor. I'm marketing to supply chain people because I speak their language and they speak mine. And that's really dialing into that. And that's my niche.
That is awesome, everybody, especially when you're first starting out, understanding who your potential investor is, understanding what their pain points are, being able to build rapport with them. And Jeff, as you get better at this, you're probably going to widen the net. And then all of a sudden, one of your supply chain buddies is going to have a doctor or a lawyer who's a friend who's going to want in. And then you're able to speak to them. And then it starts growing and growing. And what you said about the podcast, it is funny when you're looking from the outside saying, why are these two wasting time on a podcast? Well, what they were doing was they were honing their craft. As Stephen Covey likes to say, they were sharpening their saw and they were practicing their craft and actually talking to people and raising capital and making people hear them and actually trying to do some outbound marketing to get some investors. So you looked at it one way when you first started, you must have said, these guys are crazy. Now you might see it and go, that's a great idea. So changing your paradigm and growing was probably also enlightening to you as well, wasn't it?
Stay tuned for the podcast.
It's amazing, isn't it? And the amazing thing about the podcast is if nobody's listening, it's okay because you'll always learn. You're always working on your craft. You're always working on, I hate to say the word pitch, but you're working on the opportunity that you're actually providing to your investors. And what would you say the opportunity is to anyone who invests with Jeff Davis?
Yeah, so because my target market, my investors are typically executives in the supply chain space, right? They're looking 5 to 10 years from retirement. You're avoiding these volatile stock market swings that we tend to have every 5 to 10 years. So mm-hmm. diversifying your portfolio into a more stable asset class, then you're able to protect your retirement and your 401k.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And you have, you know, what's going on in this current market right now. The NASDAQ, I think, is down 25%. And it's all fine if you have the next 30 years to invest and you can ride out these waves. But you know what people do? They buy high and they sell low. And if you need to, if you're on track to retire next year, things may be looking bleak for you if you have money in equity. So what Jeff Davis and what a lot of these syndicators have out there, they have the opportunity for you to go out and invest in stable assets. Now, Jeff, let's talk about this current deal. You have a 506c offering. You know, what's your typical market as far as investing, and what criteria are you looking for in your deals?
Our typical market is in Texas. Mm-hmm. And so this opportunity is in Dallas. We really look at B-class properties with a value add component. We target properties, and we primarily have only been involved in properties that underwrite on the current basis, right? The current T12 and less about the pro forma. So no bridge debt, which is fantastic. And this particular opportunity is an assumable loan, 2.9%, which is just fantastic in today's climate.
Yeah. Phenomenal. And so you've probably avoided a lot of that bridge debt, a lot of stuff. Before we sign off, I mean, what do you see yourself doing in multifamily in the next 5 years? Are you looking to leave your job? Are you looking to continue to scale? Are you looking to buy smaller assets? Are you looking to continue to syndicate? What does that look like for you, Jeff?
Yeah. So I will purchase smaller assets to accelerate my growth out of my W-2. Mm-hmm. So the sooner that I can do that, the happier I'll be, and the more opportunities I can provide for partners.
And I didn't let you answer the question, but what has Jake and Gino done for you? What has it allowed to you? Because we always say education times action equals results. You can only get the education, but you're taking massive action. You're coming to the boot camps with your mm-hmm. family, trying to get in the pool at a hotel while you're out on a bus tour and your wife's there with the 5 kids running around. It's not all sunshine and rainbows, as they say. There's a lot of work involved in this, isn't it?
There is, right? I mean, if somebody was just looking for education, you can Google it if that's all you're going to do. To have the community is fantastic. I mean, I talk with members on a daily basis. I have a fantastic relationship with Jen and Vlad. Cody and Brian and John are real mentors, right? I mean, to emulate a business after what they've done and this amount of time is special. So really looking to kind of mimic that. Those guys are awesome. And there's guys in this community that have done really special things. So that's what it motivates you to do, is to take that action, because you don't want to be left behind.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say with your wife? What are her thoughts of this going forward? Does she see you doing this forward? And are you, how is she supporting you in this adventure?
I'm going to Jacksonville this weekend, you know, so we have those discussions, right? I mean, I haven't been able to go to every single event, but to have the discussion and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. What do we have that weekend? I mean, with 5 kids, teenagers, sports, it gets very busy, but aligning the schedule for a successful business mm-hmm. is supported, right? Mm-hmm. So if we have something in Dallas or Austin, we can all drive, and that's a family vacation, and that's some fun, right? Mm-hmm. You know, even Knoxville could potentially be a drive or a flight. You know, we could all fly. And so I'm all about that, right? And she gets it. I mean, I had to travel internationally for my career, and that's, I don't have to go to China anymore.
That's awesome. And you know, I'll finish that by saying it's the same with us. When I had to speak at an event in July in Hawaii for one of our students, for Vince Gethings, he had a multifamily event out there. We took the whole family out there. This weekend, the kids are coming to Jacksonville this weekend. So I'm trying to give, you know, the listeners an idea that you should involve your significant other. You should involve your family in this, because this is part of your business and part of your life. And way business mirrors life in so many different fashions. We have core values in business. We should have them in our livelihood. We should have our mission statements. And it's funny, Jake was just breaking my balls about an hour ago. He has a level 10 meeting every Sunday with his wife, and I don't have one. I just see my wife every day, all the time. We homeschool, so she's around all the time. But he caught me talking to her, and I was like, Jewel, do we have a podcast today at 12:30? And she's like, I don't know. He's like, Gino, if you did your level 10 meeting every Sunday, you would know what's on the schedule. And he's like, I'm right, Jake, you know, you're right. And it's one of those things where you have the family involved, just figure it out and try to, it's such a blessing to have the kids around and my wife around. And it's just an amazing thing. So I just challenge everybody out there. If you're getting into this business, figure out how you can work with your spouse. And you may say, oh, it can never work. That's limiting beliefs, because I thought I could never work with my wife. And now we have a podcast, we write children's books. So it's awesome. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. Right. And we homeschool one of our kids and we have homeschooled at this point, most of them, for at least some point of time. Mm-hmm. So we have that going as well. And once there's some opportunity, we'll work together. But I don't know how you can do this without some form of communication on a almost daily basis, right? If you're going to do it and you're going to take action, property tours, broker meetings, lender relationships, there's a lot of moving parts, and you want to be aligned.
Jeff, last question. What are next steps for you in multifamily? You've got this really big deal going on. What's the next step for you after that?
So I'm actively looking to be a lead, you know, and so I want to work with my two kind of partners here within the Jake and Gino. We are aligned in our thought process and be a lead on a deal that I'm raising for my own, mm-hmm. and grow that portfolio to the point that I'm walking away from a W-2.
That's awesome. Jeff, where can the listeners get a hold of you?
I've got a resource that we compiled. We're working on another one, but at multifamilyadvice.com. That's multifamilyadvice.com. 7 reasons why we like multifamily.
I love that. multifamilyadvice.com. Jeff Davis, it's really funny. Started out, got married, had Hurricane Katrina happen, left Louisiana, went to Houston, started buying single families, then met a couple people in the community. They're doing multifamily. They have a podcast. He's like, what are these guys doing? They're doing a podcast, but they're not doing transactions. I'm doing transactions. Little did he know that they're building up their equity. They're building up their base of investors. They jumped in. He jumped in, joined multifamily, and the relationship that he has with his wife is awesome. And she's supporting him, and she's coming out to these events. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, one of the great qualities that you have in multifamily is that you can work with your business partner, with your spouse, and you can actually involve your children in it. So, Jeff, thanks for being on the show. I want want to be able to say that I will see you this weekend at the Jacksonville Boot Camp. And if anyone wants to reach out again, it's multifamilyadvice.com. Thanks, everyone.